Imagine waking up tomorrow morning. You know, you're groggy. You reach over to your nightstand to just grab your phone.
Like we all do, yeah. First thing.
Exactly. You unlock it, just like you do 100 times a day. And you open your photo gallery, expecting to see, I don't know, yesterday's lunch or maybe a screenshot of a recipe you saved.
Right.
But instead, the most recent photo is a picture of yourself, fast asleep in your own bed.
Oh, that just gave me
And the
chills.
timestamp, it says 3:47 a.m. The photo was taken from the doorway of your bedroom by your own phone.
Yeah, I mean, the immediate physical reaction to a scenario like that,
Okay.
the sudden drop in your stomach, the spike in your heart rate, that's exactly what we're examining today.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the security of that little glass rectangle in your pocket is basically the foundational illusion of modern life. I mean, we just operate under this assumption that a passcode or, a biometric scan creates this impenetrable fortress around our most private selves.
Right. And when that fortress is breached, it doesn't just feel like a data leak. It feels like a literal home invasion.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And exploring that specific, that really suffocating flavor of violation is our mission for today's deep dive. We're looking at how a single shift in perspective can transform the device you, the listener, are using to listen to this right now into an object of pure psychological terror.
It really is pure terror.
It is. And our source material today is this fascinating developer log. It's part 3 of a series titled I Am the AI Game Producer, and it's dated April 13th, 2026. The document outlines the design philosophy for an upcoming video game called Shadow Access.
Yeah, and I have to say, the text goes way beyond like standard video game design notes. Your creator is essentially offering this masterclass in exploiting the invisible vulnerabilities we all just carry around with us every day.
Yeah, in our pockets.
Right. It's this brilliant, honestly terrifying commentary on the blind trust we place in our digital systems and how easily that trust can be weaponized to just completely dismantle our sense of safety.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to really understand how Shadow Access achieves this, we need to look at the genre it's playing with, right? The devlog mentions this category called the found phone genre. Now, I've played a few of these over the years, but for anyone who hasn't, how do these games typically operate?
Well, the foundational premise is usually pretty literal. You, the player, stumble across a lost or abandoned device that belongs to someone else.
Like you just find it on a bench or something.
Exactly. And the core gameplay loop involves you digging through their text messages, their emails, their voicemails, trying to piece together some sort of mystery. Perhaps the owner went missing or maybe they're involved in a conspiracy.
Right, and the source text actually mentions a couple of previous games by this same developer that fit perfectly into that mold.
Yes, the earlier ones.
Yeah, like in one called An Inside Job, you are combing through a corporate desktop trying to uncover some shady business practices. And then in another one called Dead Signal, you're investigating a murder victim's phone to find out who killed them. So the player is always placed in a very specific role, the voyeur.
Right. You are the outsider looking in, and that dynamic, it's inherently safe, because the stakes belong to someone else entirely.
Yeah, you're just watching.
Exactly. You're an objective observer, piecing together a narrative puzzle at your own pace. But Shadow Access takes that comfortable dynamic and just violently flips it.
It totally upends it.
Because you are no longer investigating a stranger's device. The game simulates your device. You are investigating your own digital life.
And that shift, I mean, that completely destroys the safety net.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like investigating someone else's phone is like reading a true crime paperback, right? You might get a little creeped out, you might feel a chill, but you're safely insulated.
Yeah, you can always just close the book.
Exactly, you just walk away. But investigating your own phone, finding that time-stamped photo of your own bedroom door taken while you slept, that is like hearing a heavy footstep on the floorboards of your own home when you know you live alone.
Oh, that's a terrifying way to put it, but so accurate.
The story isn't contained on the page anymore. The threat is in the room with you.
Yeah, and the developer's choice to use that 3:47 a.m. photo as the inciting incident is, I mean, it's incredibly strategic because it forces a radical shift in player motivation.
Oh, so.
Well, when you're looking through a stranger's phone, your motivation is just curiosity. But when you realize someone was physically standing in your apartment while you were unconscious,
Right, your motivation becomes survival.
exactly. You instantly pivot from passive observation to this frantic, paranoid audit of your entire digital existence.
Yeah.
The question isn't like, let me solve this puzzle. The question is, what else did they touch?
So if I'm not walking around a virtual house with a flashlight looking for a broken window or, you know, a bloody fingerprint, what does a digital home invasion actually look like in this game? Like, what is the player actually searching for?
Well, you're hunting for digital footprints. The gameplay relies on uncovering anomalies hidden within the mundane systems you interact with every single day.
The stuff we barely even look at.
Right. And the developer provides some chillingly specific examples in the log. Like, the first breadcrumb involves the Screen Time app.
Oh, we all know Screen Time. It's the tool that tells us we spent, like, way too many hours scrolling through short-form videos instead of being productive.
Exactly. But in Shadow Access, you open that app and find 2.5 hours of active screen time logged between 2.0 a.m. and 5.0 a.m.
A window of time where you know for an absolute fact you were dead to the world.
Yeah. And what's fascinating here is the psychological impact is profound because it preys on cognitive dissonance. We trust algorithmic metrics like screen time completely, right?
Yeah, we never question them.
We view them as objective, infallible reflections of our own behavior. So by corrupting that metric, the developer turns a harmless self-monitoring utility into an undeniable mathematical proof of an intruder. The data itself becomes horrifying because it contradicts your own reality.
Wow. But the invasion goes much deeper than just looking at your screen, though. The log outlines this one discovery in the mail app that just, it really messed with me.
Oh, the forwarding rule.
Yes. So on the surface, your inbox looks entirely normal. Your daily newsletters are there. Your work emails are there. But when you dig into the back end settings, you find a hidden forwarding rule. Any incoming email containing the word bank or password is automatically silently being forwarded to a stranger's email address.
Yeah, and I mean, think about the real-world implications of that mechanic for a moment. This isn't a loud, chaotic ransomware attack where a hacker locks your screen and demands money.
No, no pop-ups or anything.
Right. This is an insidious, quiet siphon. The intruder isn't just looking at your past data. They have compromised your future. They are maintaining this ongoing parasitic presence in your life.
I know. It makes you want to pause this deep dive right now and actually check the back-end settings of your own email accounts. I mean, when was the last time you, the listener, actively searched for hidden forwarding rules?
Probably never.
Exactly. Hackers rely on the fact that we never look under the hood.
And the game just continues to escalate this feeling of a loss of control. The developer describes another anomaly, this time in the Messages app. The player discovers outgoing text messages sent to 3 close friends, and the text simply read, "I'm fine, just busy lately."
Which you didn't write.
Right, you didn't write those. Mm-hmm. The intruder is actively managing your social perception. They're isolating you, basically putting up a wall so your friends don't come checking on you.
That is so creepy. It's a classic abuse tactic, but translated into digital automation.
Yeah, it creates a deep sense of claustrophobia. The intruder is not just stealing from you, they are impersonating you. They're wearing your digital skin.
Ugh. And the final piece of evidence the log mentions is found hidden in your settings menu. You spot an app called System Tools. Now, the icon looks perfectly normal. It uses the standard Apple or Google design language, clean lines, you know, minimalist aesthetic.
Looks totally official.
Right. It looks like a native utility that just came pre-installed on the phone. Yep. Something you never click but assume is crucial to the phone's operation.
But in reality, it is disguised spyware. And this specific detail highlights a concept in UI design called the aesthetic usability effect.
Okay, what's that?
Well, we are psychologically primed to assume that things that look clean, official, and aesthetically pleasing are safe and functional. Tech companies have spent billions training us to trust frictionless design.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So the developer of Shadow Access weaponizes that exact cognitive bias. If it looks like a native tool, our brains just filter it out. The intruder hides in plain sight, relying entirely on our conditioned digital illiteracy.
Okay, but if I'm hunting for these fake apps and altered settings, I'm relying entirely on the screen to give me accurate information, right? But the devlog reveals that the screen itself eventually stops being a reliable narrator. The user interface, the UI, actually changes as the game progresses.
Yes. The UI serves as the primary storyteller here. There are no expositional text boxes popping up to inform you of the hacker's progress. There's no traditional narrator.
So how does it start?
Well, the game begins with a pristine, standard white interface. It feels comfortable because it mimics the environment you navigate every single day.
But as you uncover these terrifying anomalies, the photo, the forwarding rules, the isolated text messages, the interface begins to degrade. Like the law describes, dark green traces bleeding into the clean white screen resembling the unnatural hue of, like, night vision goggles.
Yeah.
Apps start force closing. The screen jitters and flickers.
Right, and the visual degradation of your phone perfectly parallels your own psychological degradation. Your trusted familiar tool is actively morphing into a hostile, alien environment right in front of your eyes.
See, I have to push back on this design choice, though.
Okay, why?
As conceptually brilliant as it sounds on paper, isn't it an incredibly risky move for a game developer? I mean, modern gamers are notoriously impatient. They want clear waypoints. They want tutorials. They want to know exactly what is happening.
That's true.
If my screen starts bleeding green and my apps keep crashing, my first instinct isn't going to be, wow, what a brilliant narrative device. My first instinct is going to be that my console is overheating or the game is bugged and I just need to reboot my system.
Sure.
By refusing to explicitly tell the player what is happening, aren't they risking total player frustration?
I mean, it is an undeniable risk, and it breaks almost every rule of modern user experience design. However, the developer clearly believes that watering down the experience with explicit hand-holding would completely destroy the psychological experiment.
Really?
Yeah, the friction you are describing, that's the entire point.
So they actually want the player to feel genuinely confused and frustrated.
They want the player to feel true paranoia. I mean, think about how a real-world digital compromise happens. Nobody hands you a card explaining that you are being watched.
Right.
There is no pop-up that says, warning, intruder detected in living room. You simply start noticing small, unsettling details that don't add up. You know, your battery drains a little too fast. An app asks for a permission it shouldn't need.
Oh, I see.
So when the game avoids telling you how to feel, the dread is earned. If a game tells you to be scared via a text box, your brain naturally resists the manipulation. But when a system you inherently trust simply begins to behave wrong, the anxiety is completely organic.
Okay, that does reframe it for me. Because if a pop-up told me I was hacked, I would intellectualize it. I would think, okay, that is the plot of the game.
Exactly.
But if I am frantically trying to delete a hidden email forwarding rule to save my fake bank account, and the screen keeps glitching out and force closing the app with that creepy night vision green color, yeah, my actual heart rate is going to go up. The threat stops being theoretical and becomes systemic.
Because the interface itself becomes the enemy. It's no longer a window into a digital world. It is a cage closing in around you.
Man. Well, here's where it gets really interesting, because this masterful manipulation of the UI to generate a very specific type of ambient dread makes a lot more sense when you zoom out and look at the creator's broader philosophy.
Why the trilogy?
Yeah, the devlog spends some time placing Shadow Access within the context of their previous games. It turns out this is the final chapter of a thematic trilogy.
The developer views these three games as an exploration of the different facets of modern anxiety, basically moving from the societal down to the deeply personal.
So let's break down that triad. The first game, Inside Job, where you investigate the corporate desktop that plays on the fear of moral compromise.
Yeah.
You're desperately searching for the truth about a corrupt corporation, but the mechanics ensure that by finding the truth, you actually implicate yourself in the cover-up.
Right. The horror there is the realization of complicity. It is the fear of participating in a broken system and realizing too late that your hands are just as dirty as the people you're investigating.
And then we have the second game, Dead Signal, where you dig through the murder victim's phone. The log states this game plays on the fear of patterns in data.
Yes, that one is fascinating.
You are analyzing call logs and location history, and the horrifying realization is that someone deeply trusted by the community is actually the killer.
Which taps into the fear that our surface reality is entirely fabricated. It suggests that objective data holds a dark, hidden truth about the people we interact with every day, and we are simply, you know, too blind to see the patterns.
Oh, which brings us to the final piece of the puzzle, Shadow Access. And the developer considers this their most conceptually original work because it abandons societal fears completely.
Exactly.
It plays purely on the fear of exposure. It's the terror of ultimate betrayal from your most private sanctuary. Someone knows your photo history, your private chats, your physical location, and exactly what time you go to sleep.
It is the terrifying realization that you have zero secrets. I mean, your corporate guilt or your neighbor's hidden life, pale in comparison to the sudden understanding that you are completely naked and observed in your own home.
And just as you think you have a handle on the deep psychological games this creator is playing, the devlog drops a massive reality-bending twist about how the game is actually being produced.
Oh, this part is wild.
The human developer isn't writing the final reveal.
Nope. The identity of the intruder, the answer to the central burning mystery of who was standing in your living room taking that photo at 3.47 a.m., is being completely outsourced.
Outsourced to who?
The human creator is handing the narrative reins over to an artificial intelligence known as Claude Code.
And the developer is incredibly candid about why they are doing this. They openly admit that Claude Code is simply vastly superior at narrative design and psychological manipulation than a human writer.
Which is quite an admission.
They apparently learned this humbling lesson during the development of Inside Job. So the human's role is relegated to architecture. They build the mechanics, they set the pacing of the UI degradation, they establish the atmosphere of dread, but they let the AI deliver the final devastating surprise.
The implications of that collaborative dynamic are staggering. I mean, the human understands the structural mechanics of a video game, but they are relying on a large language model to understand the nuances of human vulnerability well enough to execute a believable betrayal.
It is like giving an AI the blueprints to a labyrinth, putting the player inside, and then letting the AI dynamically build the dead ends and trap doors based on which way the player decides to run.
Yes. And the AI knows exactly which trapdoors will cause the most psychological damage. Because it has trained on millions of points of human behavioral data. It doesn't just understand narrative tropes, it understands our data patterns better than we do.
It adds this incredibly chilling meta layer to the entire experience. You are playing a game about a piece of technology betraying a human, and the ultimate mastermind scripting that exact betrayal is a piece of technology.
The line between the creator, the tool, and the threat is just completely eradicated. The medium truly becomes the message.
Let's pull all these threads together. Today, we unpacked how shadow access shatters the safety of the found phone genre by forcing you to become the victim of an intrusion on your own simulated device.
Yeah, that complete inversion.
Right. We explored the mechanics of paranoia, where the horror isn't found in jump scares, but in altered screen time metrics and hidden email forwarding rules. We discussed how a clean, trusted interface degrading into a glitching night vision nightmare can bypass our intellect and trigger genuine anxiety.
A literal visual breakdown.
And finally, we uncovered the reality that the mastermind behind this deeply intimate digital horror is an artificial intelligence.
And, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the reason this game design resonates so deeply, the reason reading this devlog feels so unsettling, is because it operates on the very edge of reality.
It really does.
The vulnerabilities explored in Shadow Access are not science fiction. The blind reliance on digital metrics, the aesthetic usability effect that causes us to trust disguised spyware, the absolute vulnerability of our personal data, these are the conditions of our daily lives. We all carry these frictionless glass mirrors in our pockets, trusting them with the most intimate details of our existence.
We really do.
The game simply takes our baseline reality and removes the safety protocols.
It takes the invisible, silent threats that cybersecurity experts warn us about every single day, and it materializes them in the form of a photograph taken from your own bedroom doorway. And it leaves you with a deeply provocative thought to chew on. The human creator of this game used an AI to design the ultimate twist about a digital intruder violating a human's privacy. If an artificial intelligence is the entity tasked with writing the story of how our personal technology betrays us, does that make Shadow Access a brilliant piece of fictional entertainment? Or is it a terrifyingly accurate warning generated by the very systems we are actively learning to trust?
Like they say, when the system itself tells you not to trust the system, it's probably worth listening.
Something to keep in mind. So the next time you wake up in the middle of the night, grab your phone off the nightstand and unlock it. Maybe take a quick scroll through your photo gallery first, just in case.